Grace to you and peace from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On the Sundays, before I jump into this sermon, how many of you, when hearing this reading, went back to either a VBS or a Sunday school song that starts out, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee"? Do any of you remember that? Yeah? Okay, we're not going to sing it. I won't make you do that. If we sing it, you have to sing it with me, because I will not sing it solo. What do you say? Gene, will you help? Where are you? Will you help? Will you stand up? Thanks. All right. Are we in on this? We ready? Promise? All right. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Stand up. He was walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thank you. That was fun. All right. Okay, now for the serious part. On Sundays from now through the day of Pentecost, our readings are all about the early church, how the apostles responded to the risen Christ and to the Holy Spirit as they were commissioned as witnesses of Jesus in the world. Last Sunday, Jean and Doug, I don't know where you ended up, did a fantastic job setting that up for us, wondering about the questions that the apostles might have asked, the stories that they held and told and held on to, and how they lived into Jesus' commission, reminding us that it's our commission too. Our reading today picks up about 10 or so days after last Sunday's. We skip the story of the apostles actually receiving the Holy Spirit, because we'll celebrate that in a few weeks on the day of Pentecost as it's scheduled on the church's calendar, as if we can schedule the Holy Spirit. But where we left off, the disciples have been told to wait. And in our story today, they don't have anything holding them back. They have received the Holy Spirit and are free to go and bear witness in Jesus' name, which is what Peter and John do, but maybe not what they set out to do. They were just going to the temple to pray, and then everything changed. This is very much an Easter story. The power of the resurrection was revealed in Peter's and John's faith, and then in the man who was born lame as he was made strong and able to walk. And once it was revealed in the man, there was no containing it. Everyone around them knew what had happened. When we talked about this reading in Bible study last week, we all, me included, talked about this man's healing. That when Peter took him by the hand and he was able to walk, he had been healed. I read this reading several times after that discussion as I was preparing for today, and I noticed that the NRSV, the Bible translation that we use in our bulletin, never uses the word healed or healing to describe the miracle this man received in being able to walk after having been born lame. He was simply made strong and able to walk. And that might seem like a minor detail, or even like I'm splitting hairs, but I checked several other translations, and none of them say that this man was healed. In each one, he was made strong and able to walk. And the fact that the word healing isn't used speaks volumes about who the man was before God, that he was enough as he was. But he wasn't able to live the full life God intended for him because of the way society related to him. It was likely that his condition was understood to be a form of punishment, that God had withheld blessing from him for some reason. And he was defined by the fact that he couldn't walk. That's how he was known. People who passed him on their way would say, "Oh, there's that guy who can't walk." That was his identity. The only way he could make a living was to beg. That was the basis of his interactions with people. And he had to rely on friends or family to bring him to the temple gate every day so that he could do that. But for all intents and purposes, he was excluded from day-to-day life. And the fact that his encounter with the risen Christ through Peter and John led to his being able to walk is a miracle that ought to be celebrated. But if we only focus on that, we still ignore him as a person and attach his identity to how he physically moves through the world. As Christians, we are witnesses of a resurrected Jesus who has all his scars. And living a resurrection life is about people living a full life now, today, being included as they are. That's the life Jesus invites us into, a life that accepts people as they are, their whole selves, a life of community, as part of a community, one that works to include everyone in all aspects of our lives. That is where the miracles happen. I still have an account on X, formerly known as Twitter. It's good entertainment sometimes. And I receive a lot of notifications from accounts that I don't follow. Normally, I just swipe right and ignore them. Last week, I received one from the Washington Military Department, which I'd never heard of. And I was getting ready to swipe right, but the preview was, can you imagine 8 blind people trying to cram themselves under a doorframe in an earthquake? We would topple like dominoes. And it sounds funny, but it's completely serious. It's the opening sentence of a blog post titled, Preparedness is for Everyone. And the blog is about lessons, this particular post is about lessons learned from teaching disaster preparedness to young adults who are blind or who have low vision at the Learning Independence for Today and Tomorrow program at the Washington State School for the Blind in Vancouver. Among other things, the instructors from the Washington Military Department learned that simply translating disaster preparedness information into Braille is fine for the short term, but eventually the raised dots break down and become hard to read. So their conversation with the participants in this program was quite candid, because the participants didn't pull any punches. They wanted and needed to know how to navigate earthquakes and extreme weather and all the other things Washington State might throw at people. Like, how do they access information? Is an emergency preparedness kit different for them? Those kinds of things. And the lessons that the instructors learned all came back to accessibility for everyone, not just for people who have limited or no vision. And it made them consider that what a lot of people take for granted doesn't work for people who move through the world differently, physically, cognitively, and otherwise. And that possible solutions aren't always obvious or as good as we think they might be. I share this not to make anyone feel bad, but as an example of where people's attention tends to land or not. And I share it with the admission that my attention doesn't always land where it should. And recognizing a person as a whole is part of our commission as witnesses to the risen Christ. As we think about all of this, especially in the Easter season, we remember that we're witnesses of a resurrected Jesus who has all his scars. And that's important, because even with its scars, and maybe even because of its scars, Jesus' resurrected body still has a story to tell. And that story remains even today, because Jesus' scars don't diminish the good news of his resurrection. When the apostles went out and told people about the risen Christ, they shared stories about the things he taught them, the people they met, the lives that were changed. But they also shared stories about their own mistakes and the fear they felt about Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. And they shared, too, about his resurrection, about how they touched his scars, the places where he was wounded and broken, and how the power of life that Jesus brought into the world was still transforming people's lives. Easter, Christ's resurrection, isn't about the creation of an idealized body. Damaged, sick, weary, and broken bodies still manifest the image of God and still testify to God's power. We all have struggles and griefs that shape who we are, And in our witness, we point to our own scars as we share how the power of Christ's resurrection manifests itself through the memories and hopes that we carry. We aren't told how the man in today's reading shared his story, but you can bet that he pointed to his ankles and feet as he did it. We share that power, that hope, as part of our identity. And as we share it with others, it helps shape their identity. And as others share their experiences of resurrection, hope, and glory with us, the fullness of life that resurrection brings to all people becomes manifest. And everyone is able to experience it as they are. That's what resurrection life is all about. That's the life the risen Christ commissions us to live, and it's the life he invites us into. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.